Yeah, that was a line that got me right there. When I end you, I'm not gonna help your family. I'm gonna watch them suffer. I was like, God damn. All right. All right, let's go with you, Tommy, and then Mr. Blood.
This match is going to be bloody. And honestly, I hope it is more bloody than that Hell in a Cell match between McIntyre and Punk. I hope we get more blood than that. That is how much I want to see these two. And the fact that even in the last promo with Sam, not with Sammy, with Kevin, these two going after each other the way that they are, it's got to hurt both of them with how they're going after each other. And it's pissing both of them off. You can tell by the way Kevin pushed the camera to the side at the end. It's like, and that's all I've got to say. Pushes it to the side. Like he's absolutely pissed off beyond compare. This is a very different Sammy. This is not the type of that we've seen back when he brought in the current look for the Intercontinental title, because people forget that that's who brought it in. It was Sammy. But this is clearly different Sammy. It is not it like it's not this sweet Sammy that will keep fighting for other people. That's not the Sammy we're getting on that. We are getting a absolutely bloodthirsty Sammy that will just beat the crap out of Kevin. And honestly, what I want to see. I want to see both of them bloodied up from how bad these two are going to beat the crap out of each other.
All right, Blood, let's go with you.
It's going to be a hockey fight. It's going to be a hockey fight. This promo, I think it just really accentuates these two's ability to tell a captivating story without even needing to have. Because look, a lot of people think that professional wrestling, like the best stories, are the ones that revolve around titles and championships, and that's not true. The testament to being able to tell a great story is being able to tell one that has nothing to do with the title at all, and it's just personal. And if you're able to make your personal rivalry stand out above that of the title picture, you have got something. And I think what I love about this too is that these aren't just single dimension characters or two dimensional. Sammy and Kevin are very, very, very fleshed out, intricately told, intricately woven characters. These guys aren't even three dimensional. These niggas are four dimensional. And we've seen so many versions of them where a little piece of each part of who they've been since they've come to WWE is still with them somewhere inside. And so not only do you understand, like, you know that Kevin's coming from a place that, you know what, he's justified to have been angry, to have turned when it came to Cody. That was justified. Feeling betrayed by his tag partner and Randy, even though just because he was so angry, he thought that everybody sided against him. He was justified because that paranoia set in. Sammy is justified because you're supposed to be my best friend. And if you were really my best friend, you would have understood that I can't help you cheat to win, because if you're really my friend, you would take my honor into consideration. And Sammy's right too. And it's like, and then you attacked me for it. So now it is personal. You tried to end my career. So when it comes down to it, what I love about Kevin's character in this promo specifically is you can feel this little hint of guilt in Kevin. No matter how angry he sounds or what he's saying, there's a part of him that's sad about this. Very sad about this. And that's why when he said, you know what, when I end you, I'm not even going to help your family. I'm going to watch him suffer. When I looked into his eyes when he said it, it didn't sound like someone who meant it. It sounded like someone who's just saying something that he knows is going to hurt you. Like when friends and brothers and family members fight, you say shit because just in the moment, you know it's going to hurt you. I know that if I say it's going to hurt your feelings, it's going to burn. But inside, you're thinking, God, I wish I didn't say that. I really don't mean that. I'm just angry at you, and I'm angry at the situation, and I'm feeling hateful. But I saw that in Kevin's eyes, because the moment that Sammy retorted and said, you know what, I hope your mother, your father, your kids, your wife, I hope they'll be able to forgive me. But even if they don't, I'll have to live with that, because I am prepared to end you. And when Kevin heard that, and he's like, hold on, I just said I don't care about your family, and you're basically telling me you care about the well-being of mine. Kevin's only reply was, you know what? There's nothing else to say. I'll see you in Elimination Chamber. There was that hurt in his eyes. So I love it that not their words aren't just their words. Their words are layered. There's meaning behind their words, because if you put yourself in it, we've all had a friend that we fought with, like horribly fought with, where you said some shit you really wish you could take back, but it's too late because we're so far down this rabbit hole, we can't even see the light at the top anymore. And now we're both here in the dark, and it's whoever climbs out of that fucking hole first. And that's what tomorrow is going to be.
All right. I'm excited. Carmelo Hayes and Braun Strowman, they faced each other in this new thing that they were doing on SmackDown, since there was no U.S. title match. They were the third match of this little mini tournament that they did for the number one contender. And thanks to the Bloodline, and also thanks to, I got to say, thanks to The Miz, because before the match, we saw The Miz tell Carmelo Hayes, do that thing I told you. Carmelo Hayes pulled out the Eddie Guerrero light, cheat, and steal, where he pretended he got hit with the chair by Braun Strowman, and then threw the chair to the referee. So Carmelo Hayes won by disqualification. The referee believed it. He fell for it. So Carmelo Hayes advanced versus Braun Strowman. The only thing that I can say, I'm glad it was Carmelo Hayes and not Braun Strowman to head to the main event. The whole thing with the lie, cheating, and stealing, and also Solo Sikoa and Tama Tonga getting involved in this match, going after Braun Strowman, I thought was really, I wasn't expecting to see that, but thoughts on this match. Let's go again with you, Mr. Blood, and then we'll move on to
I love the, I mean, this was basically a glorified let's fucking hit the mark match, throw it in there, because we need it's a 3-hour show, we got a lot to do. We don't got Shinsuke. Let's put two guys together so we can get a triple threat in the main event. That's really what this was. The Bloodline getting involved with Strowman. Obviously, they're doing something there with Strowman. You know, stories crossing over with LA Knight. You know, all this other shit. He no-sold the chair shot. The lie, cheat, and steal thing from Eddie Guerrero, I thought, was inspired because we really don't see that often. But, I mean, it also, this match kind of pissed me off in a sense, because I've been saying this for a couple weeks now. Carmelo is so good. Why is he in the fucking reliable mid-card jobber spot? Because the only way this guy can get a win is by cheating. He hasn't. When was the last time he has pinned someone for a victory, a definitive victory? And they're like, we'll get you a win, but not even in a way that protects your character and your ability in the ring. We're going to give you a win by you essentially just tricking the ref. And then here's the worst part that pissed me off. He takes the bump for the ref to hear it to turn around. And then the ref calls for the bell. He immediately no-sells it and stands back up. So in my head, the logic as a ref is like, wait, you just stood to be the backup like nothing happened to you. Hold on. I'm going to call for a replay to see what happened. Because the real logic would dictate, if you really got hit that chair, why would you pop back up in 6.5 seconds like nothing happened? And then you're taunting Strowman like, hey, I got you. Huh? If I'm the ref with two brain cells put together, I'm going to go, hold on. Did you just trick me? Wait, hold on. Hold on. Hey, what happened? This happened? Can I get a replay? Nah, this match is back on. That's what I'm doing. I just thought the no-sell ruined the entire effect of the Eddie Guerrero spot. Because Eddie would have sold it. So I didn't like it.
Go ahead, Tommy.
Even somebody with a single brain cell, just one, would still go, wait, you tricked me, match is back on. They even won.
Yeah, well, the referees in the WWE, they've proven not to have any.
They've got head trauma from all the bumps they've taken.
All right, Tommy, anything else you want to add about this match?
I did love the fact that they did that little tribute to Eddie. That was great. But what drove me crazy is, I get it, you're trying to shove a total of 5 matches in a 3-hour show, which we still haven't seen in a bit. Usually it's only been like 4. And then a crap ton of promos. But they were trying to shove in 5 because of the whole Shinsuke issue. I get that. But this match was like, what, 3 minutes? If that?
Barely.
This was the fastest of the night. And that, I'm like, why not put it out to like at least 5?
Thankfully, they're not sticking with the 3-hour format. Apparently, they're going back down to 2 hours for the summer. So hopefully, we'll get some better condensed shows and not so much filler shit.
Okay. Yeah. All right, BT and then Toxic.
Yeah, I'm in full agreement with Mr. Blood on this. Why the fuck would you no sell it in like 6 seconds after the bell rings, bro? And the thing about the reps, I'll just leave it at this. That is the classic retard ass Clark Kent effect. Okay? That's what that shit is. Because ain't no way in fucking hell are you that fucking dumb to not put 2 and 2 together? Oh shit, there's a script that I gotta stick to, even though this motherfucker is so bad at selling this shit, I'm gonna put Carmelo over in the most shittiest way possible. What the fuck? Those are my thoughts.
Yeah, that's one thing that I see a lot, not just like here tonight, but the referees are always getting buried. They're always making the referees look like idiots, which is not supposed to happen, but it happens way too often.
Let's not forget it. At one point, the ref turned around when he was trying to get the timing right. When the Bloodline originally interfered, there's a point where the cameras, you can see the entire ring from Strowman going after Tama and Solo. And you see the ref turn around as he notices that they're tussling with him. And then he quickly snaps his head back. I'm like, dude, I just watched you notice that.
No, well, I think what happened there, and I'm going to defend this, is that they were coming after Strowman, but the referee didn't see when they actually got offense on Strowman. When the referee was looking at this go down, Braun Strowman was the one that was doing the offense on Tama Tonga and Solo Sikoa. So in that right there, since they're not actually attacking Braun Strowman, there's no disqualification there.
I completely get it, but then the ref boldface was facing them when Strowman was fighting them off, and then he tossed the chair into the fucking ring, and the ref watched him do it.
No, yeah, it's crazy. Toxic, what about you?
I'm just going to be completely honest. I did not pay attention during this match. I was zoned out in my own world, but ADHD sucks. I know.
I'm with you too, mate.
I'm just going to say this. WWE reps, you're fucking stupid.
Yeah.
Yep.
I think we can all agree that was one of like the major takeaways from this thing was the referee getting buried here. But all right, let's go on to the next match, the 6-woman tag team match. Liv Morgan, Raquel Rodriguez, Roxanne versus Bianca Belair, Naomi, and Bayley. And we did not get a big Jade Cargill return as we all expected, because we were seeing the reports throughout the week that she's supposed to be coming back soon. I thought for sure it's either going to be tonight or at the Elimination Chamber.
Tomorrow.
So it most likely going to happen tomorrow. Hopefully, I don't know. But
she's getting involved in the chamber, I think.
That's what I'm hoping. Roxanne, of all people, got the pin for her team over Bayley. So the push for Roxanne Perez in the main roster continues. BT, I'm going to go with you first because I know you have strong feelings about this. But let's keep it professional.
PG.
And let's get a straight answer from you. What were your thoughts about this match, if any?
I didn't watch it. I did not watch it. I did not watch it. I did not fucking watch it. As soon as I saw Roxanne walk out, right? Because I didn't know that this six tag team match thing was going to happen. I didn't know this at all. So when I saw Roxanne come out, I'm like, oh, is she supposed to have a match or something? Or is she speaking on the microphone? And then live music hits. I'm like, fuck this shit. You know that song? Fuck this shit, I'm out. That's basically what I did. That's basically what I did. So I did not watch a single thing, except I did see Roxanne standing tall, and I'm proud that my girl was able to get the win for them. Well, I wish she got the win in a singles match instead of working with fucking Liv. But anyway, Alexa interfering at the end. Well, I'm not exactly interfering, but making a statement.
After the
and
match.
Then, yeah, and then the glitch showing the Wyatt Six, which we'll probably dive into. I thought that was awesome. But yeah, I didn't fucking watch the match. Fuck Liv. Fuck Raquel. Fuck everybody who thought that it was a good decision. Okay.
I know I say
those,
like,
those are my thoughts.
I know I say like fuck Roman Reigns and things like that, but I don't say that about the women. Just throwing it out there. We don't condone that here at Snug Wrestling. Go ahead. Who wants?
Not to unless you put "I want to" in front of it.
I don't know.
I fucking can't.
All right, go ahead, Tommy.
We love you too.
This is what I'm going to say on that. I completely forgot that it was a six-woman tag. I knew it. Fucking damn it. But completely forgot about it. Mm-hmm. I saw Roxanne come out, and I'm like, oh, okay. This will be interesting. And then I heard Liv. I'm like, what the fuck is Liv doing here? And then the Lillian said it was a six-woman tag. That explains it. But it was good to see Roxanne get a win, since she's definitely not winning tomorrow night. Let's all be honest here. Roxanne is not winning the chamber tomorrow night. It's just not going to happen.
She could. She could.
But
she could.
There is one thing that her and Logan Paul both have in common, and it's the fact that both chambers are five former champions and an odd one out.
All right, Mr. Blood.
So, I didn't watch this match. And I want to tell you, look, y'all know I got rid of my cable because while I was on Netflix and I wasn't keeping my cable just to watch SmackDown, because everything else I watch, period, I stream. So there was no reason for me to be paying extra $40 a month for cable. So, fun fact, for those of you who don't know, I always catch my SmackDown notes on their YouTube channel before we go live for this. That clip wasn't uploaded yet for this match segment, so I didn't see it, didn't know it existed, but I will say I'm glad that Roxanne went over. I think keeping her momentum strong is good, because she's definitely not winning tomorrow. But here's with Roxanne in regards to the chamber, because the entire field of the chamber is so strong, it's really hard to decide who's getting eliminated first. Because even if you thought, oh, well, Liv Morgan, because she's the least technically gifted in the ring, well, I'd argue with you, because technically the least in-ring gifted in that entire match, and I hate to say this, it's my girl Alexa. So, but I don't know who the heck gets eliminated first, but I do think Roxanne definitely lasted like the last three. So I'm glad they're giving her the momentum. Okay. Great that she's getting over while they build that mini feud with Bayley. The only possible thing I could say, because I didn't see it, is hey, I'm just glad that Roxanne's getting that TV time.
All right, Toxic.
I want to basically say something about what Tommy said. Logan Paul and Roxanne Perez are different because technically, yes, but in the women's chamber, you have Naomi, Bianca, Bayley, and Liv that are currently in this big rivalry thingy, whatever it is. And then Bayley and Roxanne are in a mini feud. So really the only one that's just, hi, I'm here for the shits and giggles, is Alexa. She's not in any of the stories, any of the rivalries that are happening right now. But yes, you were right. But
roster wise, the fact that everyone else except for those two have been
world champions. Like,
world champions. I mean, yes, technically Roxanne has an NXT because she's held that title twice.
But that's not a world title. That's a company title.
Yeah, that's not a world title like all the others.
All right, we're spending way too much time for a match that you guys didn't even fucking watch. So let's move on.
Okay, for the record, I watched half of it.
Okay. Well, it was just a way to hype up the Women's Elimination Chamber match, which is tomorrow. So we'll see what happens with that. The main event, Jacob Fatu, LA Knight, and Carmelo Hayes, triple threat match, number one contenders match.
Yeah.
LA Knight won, and the original plan of Shinsuke Nakamura versus LA Knight continues, but for a match that I want to say got kind of thrown in last minute, I think they changed these plans. Maybe not last minute. They probably had a couple days to plan something out for this match or whatever. I thought that all three of these guys did pretty good for it being a triple threat match. I actually really liked it. Even though the outcome was kind of predictable, and I know the reason why they made the changes. Overall, really good match, I thought. But go with go ahead, Tommy, you first.
So I will say that for something that came up like out of nowhere for them, like literally a couple days ago, they did fantastically with what they were given. Mm-hmm. Because there was basically almost no prep time for this. But the ending was a little bit predictable because of the fact that they have said for a while, well, not a while, more like the last couple of weeks, that LA Knight is the number one contender. So him winning of some sort, even the way he did, which was great, I loved it. The fact that at the end, the last like 3 minutes or so, he just sat back, like, go ahead, Jacob. Go ahead. And then last second, pulls him out and says, fuck you, I'm pinning him. Mm-hmm. Like, I love the way... Because overall, it worked with what they've been saying the last couple of weeks, which is that LA Knight is the number one contender. Mm-hmm. So I knew how this match was going to go. Like I said on Kick, I called it from the first match, LA Knight was getting it. Because that's what they've been saying for the last couple of weeks, is that he is the number one contender. So with what they were given, it ended up being great. Was something that legitimately popped up like 2 days ago. It's great. I loved it.
All right, BT.
All right, I'm hoping I'm able to get a couple clips off of this statement on TikTok because I've got a lot to say about this. This is easily one of, for a tournament that was put together it very last minute or had a couple days to plan. They did a hell of a fucking job with this. I mean, there was a lot of cool, fun matches that happened. LA Knight versus Escobar was easily the best match out of all of the qualifying matches before the main event. Jacob versus Andrade. I wanted Andrade to win, and I wanted Carmelo to win because of the triple threat that we had a while back for the US title back then. Like, it would have added to the story, but it made lots of sense why they made Jacob win that match so that they could push him as that big star. And then the bullshit Carmelo and Braun Strowman match. And then the main event itself was awesome. Jacob doing his thing, as always. And then those last couple moments when Jacob hits that that double flip, whatever it's called, and then pulls Jacob out of the ring and then steals a win. Now, I know the average fan is going to look at this and say, well, if LA Knight was the number one contender fucking 2 weeks ago, like he was saying, why did they have this in the first place? But if you have a look at the, how do I say this? If you have a look at some of the things that happened, like we didn't know, like we don't read dirt sheets a lot, at least I don't. We possibly didn't know about what Shinsuke was going through in his personal life because dog shit fucking dirt sheets love to invade others' personal lives and all of that bullshit. So that's my least favorite part about all of this. But overall, for the tournament itself, a hell of a fucking tournament. And the main event match itself, fucking perfect. Hell of a way to nearly end off Friday Night SmackDown, except we'll get to that other second.
And honestly, look, the answer is simple. Shinsuke Nakamura was supposed to defend the title. He had a family emergency. And this is why you have stars that you pay lots of money to, because when they're needed, you know you can count on them to come through and have a good fucking match. And that's what happened here tonight. You know, you can count on Carmelo Hayes to have a good match with pretty much anyone. Is he going to win? Probably not. But he'll put on a hell of a match here. You have LA Knight, who's over as fuck, you know. You do something with Jacob Fatu. It's like, this is why these people are professionals. This is why they get paid the big bucks. Because, like, when shit hits the fan, you got to have people you can count on that can come through and put on a good show for you. And that's basically what they did.
I just hate those dirt sheets that always have to invade the personal lives. You know what I mean? Like, if Shinsuke's going through a very hard time with his family business, I mean, I get why they did that because it will affect the plans, but you could have just easily said because of some family business. You don't need to get very descriptive without that person's consent.
Well, we don't know.
You know what I mean?
We don't know if it was the dirt sheets that broke this news. Like, there's like, there it could have been any. I get what you're saying, but like, I mean, this guy also wrestled in Japan. Like, maybe the Japanese promoters or companies revealed this news, and there's a lot of people here in America that follow Japan. We don't know how the news got broke. The fact is that it did.
New Japan or something like that.
Yeah,
he did like the ring salute or something like that.
Yeah. All right. Thoughts on the triple threat match, Mr. Blood?
So out of this entire tournament, and full blown, because we haven't said it yet, but Snug Wrestling, the podcast, we offer our most sincerest condolences to Shinsuke Nakamura, his family, his brother's family.
Yeah.
And we wish you guys the best with all positivity. Horrible situation, but our hearts as wrestling fans are with you.
Oh, yeah.
May your brother, you know, rest in abundant peace.
He was young, dude. He was in his 50s.
Yeah. As far as the tournament's concerned, we got four matches out of this, and three of them were great. And y'all know which one sucked. But as far as concerned, the one that sucked is Carmelo and Brock. But as far as concerned, this triple threat, I mean, you know, you hit the nail on the head there, Snug. You know, you pay these guys big money. So, you know, here's the thing about professional wrestling, especially in a big-ass televised company like WWE. You want all of your professional wrestlers. The best, if you've noticed, the people that WWE always relies upon the most, your John Cena's, your Miz's, your Seth Rollins's, your Bayley's, you know what they all have in common? They're Swiss Army knives. You can put them anywhere for any reason whatsoever, and it will work out because they are so damn reliable in an emergency, in a pinch, that you are going to get something good to great out of them. No questions asked. And this is one of those matches where they were in a pinch. It was coming down to the last minute. Things had to get changed. A whole show's got to get rewritten because of a horrible thing that's happened to one of their family members. You know, because they're like a family in WWE. And you've got to go, well, the show goes on. This is live entertainment. So we got to give them something. And let's hope that the fans are willing to ignore the fact that we've already said LA Knight is the number one contender because, you know, we need you to put the blinders on so you can allow us to fix the story from where it currently stands because card subject to change. And fans being fans, they're understanding. They're still human. They're people. They see that and go, okay, well, hey, best case scenario, we get some great wrestling out of this. And they did. They got great wrestling out of it. And I thought it was incredibly well worked. I thought it was a very fun match because either way you put it, Carmelo, wildly reliable, always fun to watch. LA Knight, wildly charismatic, fun to watch. Jacob Fatu, insanely charismatic, insanely fun to watch. So the fans win. And all the men in the match win because they get TV time and they get a main event slot. Okay. So This to me, was a perfect way to deviate from the original plan and still let everybody go home happy, still allow Shinsuke to be the champion. And I'm so glad that this wasn't some tournament to, you know, recrown a new champion because I feel like that would have been disrespectful. So I'm glad they didn't strip him or anything.
Yeah.
I don't know how much time off he's going to need to deal with this. It's a hard thing. And I feel like Triple H is a much more lenient guy, whereas Vince would expect your ass to be back by next week. Triple H is the kind of guy who's going to let you breathe and take your time. And I think that when Shinsuke comes back, I think it's going to turn into they'll probably have LA Knight take it off of him. So Shinsuke can probably have some personal time. And I think this is how they're going to shotgun it over to Jacob. And I think this worked perfectly to fit that narrative because it gets you to the same end result.
Overall, for all of the people saying, oh, Triple H can't book. He's not good. This is what I'm going to say to that. It is very clear that Vince, even with what's going on with Shinsuke, would have never done anything like this.
No.
Like, two out from a show, Vince would be like, oh, one of your family has died? Tough it up. You're still going out.
Yeah, perhaps. What was I going to say when it comes to this? Yeah, and then on top of that, we got to see Jacob Fatu wrestle not once, but twice in the same night. And also LA Knight. And also LA Knight. The people love both of these guys, so we got to see both of them in action multiple times tonight. So I think it was a win. Overall, it was a good show.
Win, win, win.
Toxic, let's go with you. Thoughts on the triple threat, and then we'll go BT.
And you're muted, brother.
Sorry about that. I was talking to myself real quick.
You're good, buddy. You're good, buddy.
The triple threat was amazing. I wasn't paying attention during this part, but whenever someone mentioned JD, Joe, I think, mentioned JD McDonough. I wasn't really watching that, so I didn't see what happened. So don't judge me if I miss anything. But there's just a bunch of crazy spots, and yeah, it's normal to see something like that in a triple threat or a fatal four way. Any multi man match, it's normal to see an insane spot. But I really have to, like, give my respect for LA Knight, because he's like, you know, Jacob's putting in a lot of hard work on Carmelo right here. So when he's about to say, hey, Carmelo, fuck you, I'm winning, I'm going to just pull his ass out, and I'm going to take it from him.
Yeah, LA Knight just stole the win after.
I mean, when you're dealing with deals, use their tactics, you know?
Wade Barrett said it best. LA Knight did all, Jacob Fatu did all the work, and LA Knight just swooped in. But what did you think about all this, BT?
Yep. The match in general was awesome. Very happy to see LA Knight main event a SmackDown, which we haven't seen in quite some time since he has been United States champion. So I think that's a really good thing to see. I just don't know how I feel about LA Knight being a two-time US champion. And here's why. The thing with LA Knight, he's not as over as I don't want to say Jacob, because even though he's come in like near the middle of last year, he has gained a lot of eyes onto this product, right? But he is insanely over, right? LA Knight isn't the same over like Jey Uso is. This is just from what I've seen lately, and especially leading up to WrestleMania, Jey Uso is so fucking over, and he is more over than LA Knight is. And LA Knight is supposed to be the megastar. Do you know how much of a fucking statement that is? That the man that the internet hates, because the man says yeet continuously and doesn't want to have promos like he did back in 2020 when he was traumatized by his own family members, is more over than the megastar who's supposed to be the next best thing.
Yeah, the first thing that
in WWE. Like, that's crazy in itself when you think about it. So
it's because they fumbled his momentum.
Yeah.
They had a chance to pull the trigger. Exactly.
But
yes, exactly.
Are on the road to WrestleMania, you truly see who is fully over and who is not.
Yeah, 100%.
Still in that mid ground where he is over, but not as much as some of the others, like Jay.
All right, I think we're getting off topic.
Exactly.
Here. Let's, yeah, we're talking a little bit too much about Jay. This has nothing to do with him. So let's get Toxic thoughts, because we still have to talk about Cody. Toxic.
Oh, boy.
Thoughts about the triple threat match?
I already said my.
You already did? All right, we're good then. Tommy, did you go then? Who was it? Am I missing?
Yeah, you went Blood, me, Toxic. All right.
Let's go to the final segment. The Rock has a message for Cody Rhodes. We saw throughout the show that The Rock was doing these little things for Cody, gave him his own locker room. He goes into the locker room. Cody goes into the locker room. Really fancy space with a wine bar with all kinds of food laid out. And then we saw that funny segment with R-Truth and Cody Rhodes, where R-Truth, you know, is like, well, you know, spread the wealth with everyone. Let me enjoy some of this stuff that you're getting, some of the perks that you're getting from The Rock. And
he is the soul man.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
So we saw a lot of that, you know, basically The Rock telling Cody, look, this is just the beginning. If you become my champion, then there's going to be a lot of this and much more. The Rock gives Cody a pickup truck. The Rock is known to gift people trucks because he shows it on social media. The Rock has gifted multiple pickup trucks to people. So I thought that was funny that he's doing that for Cody Rhodes now, because it's such a thing. That it's such a Rocky thing to do, is to give Cody a pickup truck.
That was
like came here a tour bus.
So yeah, so basically, you know, again, hyping up their segment for the Elimination Chamber. So we'll see what happens with Cody and The Rock. Toxic, go ahead. You go first.
Okay. Throughout the show, we see Cody randomly, and then we see him at the end. When Cody is getting escorted by the two guys, he's like, okay, yeah, I guess he's just being nice, looking out for me. He doesn't want anyone to beat the shit out of me. And then the wine and the sushi stuff, and he's like, is this all really necessary? And then we come to the final. Michael Cole's talking about all this stuff that Cody's heard a million times by everyone else, like Punk, Miz, everyone else backstage. And then Michael Cole says, hey, there's a gift for you. And the truck comes out, and he's like, okay, now this is just too fucking much. The Rock comes on the screen, talks his shit, and then mentions Cody's dad. That's how you could tell. If you look in his eyes, he started to tear up. He's like, I could tell. He's like, you just pissed me the fuck off, and I'm saying no to your bitch ass on Saturday.
The dust.
And the audacity The Rock has to even claim Cody's soul before he's even said yes by putting it on the weight belt or whatever the fuck you want to call it. That pissed him off even fucking more. He's going to say no and possibly attack The Rock's bitch ass.
Mm-hmm.
I'm done.
All right, BT, Tommy, and then Blood, you can take us home.
All right.
Oh, I was just eating me beautiful biscuits that I enjoy 10 times more than any Rock promo from this era.
Eat your biscuits, my friend.
Give me a second.
All right.
Don't want to speak with a mouthful.
All right, go ahead, Tommy. Then you go first.
All right. So one, I've said it a couple times now. That was one sexy truck. I love that truck. That was one sexy truck. But one part that there's a couple things that stick to my mind. One being Punk's advice is he tricks him. And just goes, take it. Take it. And then switches it around. I would love to see you take it and shove it up his candy ass.
I did absolutely
love the way Punk put that out. And then you get to Rock. The date on the belt.
Oh boy.
The date that he pulled out. You could tell. Pause.
Go ahead.
Shut up. The date that he put on that belt. You could tell hurt Cody. Because Snug even asked, what is that date?
Yeah.
And right after Snug asks that, Rock goes, this date, the date that your daddy died, he pulled that date out for a reason. And you could tell by the look in Cody's eyes, he was hurting. He was tearing up. It hurt him.
Yeah, but it's Cody. He always does that shit.
At that date again.
That was tearing up all the time.
Different thing, though. Yes, he has a habit of crying in promos, but this was different.
No, because not
did make him think of his dad, but he brought up the exact day.
Yeah. All right, BT, are you ready now?
Yes, I'm ready. And I know Mr. Blood's probably going to fucking put in 10 times more better words than I ever could put it, but let's just get to it, Steven, okay? The Rock. What made you think pulling up at an airport to cut this fucking promo was the best idea? We couldn't hear half of the shit that you were fucking saying. And then to top it off, the most classic Disney villain ass bullshit that I have ever fucking seen. This man legit pulled out the day of the day that Dusty Rhodes passed away. And you would think for a single solitary second, Dwayne, I'm going to call you Dwayne, that shit's going to fucking work? Have you not watched any of the fucking movies that you've been a part of? Have you not watched any fucking movie that has come out on Hollywood to know that this shit does not fucking work?
And then
turning into one of those kids' movies, bro.
And then you've got The Rock saying over and over and over again, you like to drive on the roads like The Rock does. You like to drive on the rocky roads like The Rock does. You like to drive on the dusty roads like The Rock does.
Yeah, first off, that's cringy as fuck. Second off, mega pause, because ain't no way Cody is riding his dad like that. Okay? That's necrophilia. Okay? That is the worst fucking thing that you could have ever fucking said.
I think you guys are hearing things. I don't think that's what he said at all.
You could not have put it in the most worst way possible, bro. All that right. is so... Oh,
anything else, BT?
Okay, so to stay on topic, it took me 20 minutes to get through this 10-minute promo. What the fuck, bro? You are aging so quickly whenever you cut up one of these fucking things. It's not the early 2000s anymore. And you've heard Seth Rollins say this to you. You had your time. Just give it up already. Like, I love The Rock. I love The Rock, okay? But, god damn it, these fucking promos are starting to get to me, bro.
Get set.
And all this antagonizing and all this bullshit, it's just starting to get predictable at this point.
Seth said it best with what he told The Rock last year before that tag match. You had your time. You're sure as hell not taking ours.
All right, nope. Toxic.
I already have my thoughts.
Oh, you did? Oh, my bad. Go ahead. Go ahead, Blood.
All right, so I am taking us home. No pause. You're going to like it. I'm going to watch that first. But look, especially you, Stug. You look really good. Anyway. All right, so I think you guys, again, are missing a part of the point. So, for those of you who don't know, former professional wrestler here, but aside from that...
Wait, hold on, Mr. Blood. You're a professional wrestler?
Oh my god, the dementia is getting to Snug.
I didn't know that. Go ahead, go on.
Man!
Now,
like you say,
stop being facetious. I know I say this whenever I need to make a point, because it's it is a point. I'm a former professional wrestler. That doesn't always give you insight to the game. For those who don't know, I'm also a working actor. This type of performance Rock's doing is classic. He's giving you two ways to take the promo. One, he's either highly delusional, because that Hollywood-esque delusions of grandeur that is very normal for big celebrities. What is the best way to portray yourself on screen? It's when you are yourself dialed up to 11. The Rock is very in tune with how his public image is perceived. He knows people think that he is this egotistical, megalomaniacal, self-serving jackass. He knows that's what a lot of the internet thinks of him. He knows that's what people think of him. That's why he always runs back to WWE to save his image. So, this promo can be taken one of two ways. The first way is the obvious way. I'm just going to be the guy who's so high on himself that I'm actually delusional enough into thinking that these are things that are making Cody want to lean my way. Hey, here's a new truck I bought for you, even though you're a millionaire. Hey, here's this custom locker room, even though you have your own tour bus. Hey, here's your dad. Here's a weight belt with the date of your dad's death on it, as if I know that's not going to crush your fucking heart. Okay. Hey, you know, so and it's all these things that you can go, well, maybe he's delusional enough to believe that this is actually something that Cody would love. Or then you have the obvious reason, the reason I really think it is, the acting side of it. The Rock is purposefully wanting Cody to say no. The Rock wants an excuse to go after Cody unfairly. The Rock wants to wave all this stuff in his face because he wants Cody to turn it down. So The Rock has a legitimate excuse that he can justify to himself saying, I tried to give everything to you. I tried to be your friend. Our moms are friends. I tried to make you the biggest thing ever. I tried to bring you to my level and you spat in my face. Well, now, Cody, I'm going to take everything from you. You know why? Because I'm your boss. And I'm not just your boss. I'm the final boss.
So you are saying...
No, hold on. No logical man, as intelligent as The Rock, waves the date of your father's death in front of your face with a smile on his face and thinks that this is something that's going to bring you joy. The Rock is doing this because he wants Cody to say no so he can manipulate his way into justifying his own self-serving heel reason, because he's a heel, as in why he's now going to sink his teeth into Cody even further and try to take that championship away from him. He wants his soul, guys, but you didn't read in between the lines. He doesn't want Cody's soul as in he wants him as his champion. He wants Cody's soul one way or the other. He mentioned getting smacked in the face by Cody. He said, I wouldn't let anybody ever get away with that. And you know what? I don't think he is. I think this is him doing long-term payback because his ego got crushed. He got embarrassed at WrestleMania. He got embarrassed before WrestleMania. And this is him getting his get back the long way.
So you're saying... all that just to do what he said he would do the first time he left?
It's all a dog and pony show. You know why? Because, remember, people were pissed that he came back last year, did the throat cut, and the very next time we see him, he's a pandering babyface, breaking kayfabe, drinking tequila with the guy who's supposed to be the enemy that he threatened last year in the Raw for WrestleMania. Don't you ever break my heart again. And now, Cody is going to break his heart again, but only because The Rock wants him to. The Rock wants the excuse to go after Cody. That's why he's offering friendship in one hand while he's got a fucking knife in this one. He's going, I know you're not going
to
take
no,
this.
No, I mean, that would be entertaining to see, Mr. Blood. And yeah, I mean, you're probably right, but I don't think The Rock needs any excuses. If he wants to come after Cody, he can just go after him.
But it would.
But he does if he wants to play mind games. The Rock is a multi-layered character. What better way to get inside of someone like someone as prideful as Cody's head than to go after his ego, go after his heart, and then go after him mentally until you break him down to the point where he's just easy pickings for you?
Yeah, it would definitely explain why right after Mania, he said, when I come back, I'm coming for you, and I'm coming for that time. Right after Mania. And then
he didn't say how he was going to do it either.
All of a sudden he comes back and he does the complete opposite of what
exactly
even a year prior.
Hey, what's the old adage? Keep your friends close.
Your enemies
keep your enemies closer.
All right. Well, with that, it's time to close this up, y'all. The Elimination Chamber is coming up, so we'll see what happens. And we will definitely be keeping an eye out to see what happens so we can go over it. Until then, thanks, fellas. Like always, it's a pleasure. You guys have a good night. My name is Edgar. I'm the host of Snug Wrestling, and we will talk very, very soon.